What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs get the game one win in the Western Conference Finals against the Portland Trail Blazers. Got an entire game breakdown coming up. Also going to talk about some post-game reaction as well, and just about everything from this first game, this huge win. And yes, I'm calling it huge, and I'll explain why coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? And by the way, if you are looking for Locked On Warriors or any of the great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors. We got Locked On NBA, one of our national shows, Locked On NFL. We got draft shows. We got everything covered from NFL, NBA, MLB, got college covered too. So anything you're interested in, Locked On Podcast Network has got you covered. So be sure to check all of that out. Let's get to the game. Let's get to everything that happened. The Dubs beat the Portland Trail Blazers in game one of the Western Conference Finals. And I am calling it a big win for a number of different reasons. Obviously because, well, it's the Western Conference Finals, so every single win should be considered pretty big. But the reason why it's so big is because every single game they're going to be able to win without Kevin Durant is huge. It is. Every win that they're able to get without him allows him more time, more cushion to get back to 100% or as close as possible to 100%. So getting game one was big. If they can get game two, I mean, it's all gravy. If they can win the series without KD, without feeling much pressure, you know, maybe go up 2-1, you know, and then get game four, whatever. You know, just looking too far ahead a little bit. But just the bottom line is every win they can get without KD takes pressure off him needing to come back. And same thing for DeMarcus Cousins, too. It gives him time to get right. And apparently they need it, is the other thing. Steve Kerr kind of tempered everyone's expectations recently, saying neither are really that close. So we'll just have to wait and see what actually happens. We know KD is getting reevaluated on Thursday before game two. I think there will be an update on Cousins as well on Thursday before game two. So let's wait and see how, well, you know, what the prognosis is, and then see how the Warriors do in game two. But as far as game one is considered, that was last night, and a couple of things leading up to it. One of them, Dell and Sonia, obviously, the Curry parents, have two sons in this series, a son-in-law who is part of the Warriors as well, won't be getting any playing time. That's Damian Lee because he was on a two-way contract. But as far as who was rooting for who, they flipped a coin. Sadell, the Steph and Seth's sister, a lot of S's. What'd she do? I think she Snapchatted or Instagrammed it or something. Bottom line, Dell won the Warriors one. Sonia had to root for Portland. But then all of a sudden, Dell had like a double jersey where it was Steph on the front, Seth on the back. Either way, pretty adorable. And pretty crazy for that family. I mean, it's pretty awesome. Another thing I have to mention is I kind of hate playing Portland in the playoffs. And it's not so much Portland. Well, it kind of is Portland. I like them as a team. I like the way they've built their team. I like some of the players they have. But it's mostly playing against Dame. Because me being from the Bay Area, I think a lot of my listeners are from the Bay Area, obviously. Or if you're a Golden State fan, not from the Bay Area, you understand that, you know, Damian Lillard grew up down the street from Oracle. It's not just, oh, he's from Oakland. He's literally from two blocks away from here. And he reps Oakland just about as hard as anyone else I've ever seen. Maybe Marshawn Lynch a little more, but Dame is right up there. He showed up to the game in an Oakland A's jersey. He must have gotten it when he threw out the first pitch, I imagine, or he just got a customized A's jersey, which is pretty dope, too. Had number zero on it, had Lillard on the back. He's a Raiders fan. He is as Oakland as it gets. He's Oakland to the core, and I just hate playing him in the playoffs. I'm not torn. It's Warriors all day, but, you know, it's just tough to go up against a guy who reps Oakland as hard as he does. So I just wanted to get that out there and mention that, you know, he's wearing the A's jersey on his way to the game, which I thought was pretty dope. On to the actual game now, that we've gotten all that other stuff out of the way. Steve Kerr did go with the same starting lineup that he did in Game 6 against Houston, the 2013 squad of Steph, Clay, Andre, Draymond, and Bogut. And, you know, they started out fine. It was a slow game to start, I'll put it that way, just because, I mean, I think both teams looked a little tired, a little heavy-legged. Dubs, you know, coming off 2 6-game series, even though they had a couple days off, or coming off, you know, seven straight years of playoff appearances and four straight going to the finals, trying to make it five straight. The Dubs have actually played an extra season worth of games throughout the playoffs the last 4 years. They've played more than 82 games, I believe, over the last four playoff runs. So they were a little sluggish. Portland absolutely was. I mean, you could just see it. They played in Denver 2 days ago. And so it was a slow start. And on the very first possession, Portland got two offensive rebounds immediately on the first possession and get a put back. The Dubs, they actually started defending straight up to start the game. So I think Clay was on Dame. Steph was on CJ. Andre on Harkless. Draymond on Aminu and Bogut on Kanter. So all the cross matches I talked about, we saw some of it later in the game, but as far as Steve Kerr is concerned, we've seen this with him before, that's why it was so interesting that he started the Hamptons 5 in Houston immediately, is because he likes to hold on to his cards and not play them until he needs to. So we saw some cross matching later in the game, but he didn't go to it immediately. He played him straight up to start the game. And it worked out fine. Clay started getting buckets in the first. He was getting after it for sure. The first time they put Kanter in the pick and roll, he's literally in the paint, a good 10 to 12 feet away from Steph, who gets a wide open three. He missed the first one, but that would be one of only a few that he would miss on the entire night. But you saw it. That was it right there, where I said, put his ass in the pick and roll every single play. Make him unplayable. Steve Kerr didn't quite do that, but he did still take advantage of how they were playing Steph and how, you know, Kanter might not just be physically able to play Steph. Kanter did well at what he does well also. He ended with, 16 rebounds? I think 5 or 6 of them were offensive. He was able to do some good things. But at the same time, the Warriors made sure to get after him on the defensive end, or his defensive end, however you want to put it. In the first, Draymond had 6 points. He was getting after it, getting to the hole. He also had 6 rebounds, 2 offensive, and 3 assists, 2 turnovers, though. 1 block. Again, Anthony Slater came out with the number recently about how many blocks Draymond has against Portland in his playoff career. It's some ridiculous number, and he's going to continue to do it, and he continued to do it in his first game. Sorry, I don't have the exact number on me. But he has a buttload of blocks against Portland in his playoff career and added to that number tonight or last night, whatever. Klay Thompson had a solid first. He had 6 points, 3 of 8 from the field. He struggled a little bit to start the game, but in the late third and fourth quarter, he started knocking them down and really helped wrap the game up for the Dubs. Steph started slow also, going 2 of 6, 1 of 3 from three. But he did get fouled on a three-pointer and got 3 free throws less than 2 minutes into the game, 1 minute and 52 seconds into the game. And the Warriors didn't take another free throw until they were 20 seconds into the fourth quarter. So that's what, 35 minutes of basketball where they did not get a single free throw. And during that time, the Portland Trailblazers shot 22 of them. So, I mean, that's what helped keep Portland in the game was the fact the Warriors kept fouling and that Portland was able to get to the line. Warriors probably could have gotten to the line a little bit more, but, you know, it is what it is. Not a big deal. They were fighting for rebounds. They did a good job. They did a good enough job, I'll put it that way. It was free throws and offensive rebounding that kept the Portland Trailblazers in it. And, again, that's usually what it's come down to is turnovers, rebounds, and free throws that hurt the Warriors. And it's pretty incredible that they're that good of a team that those are the things that affect them. They gave up a three at the last second of the first, like they usually do. It's something that has been bugging me for a long time. You've heard me talk about it here. Their end of quarter defense is terrible, and it's absolutely something they need to fix, where they're giving up open, wide open looks at the end of quarters. And they definitely need to do something about it. I got to take a quick break. Went a little long, but quick break. Come back, finish up the rest of the game and some post-game thoughts as well. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Dubs got the win against the Portland Trailblazers in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. I'm going to say it a lot because it was a big win, and I just like saying it. But the Dubs end up getting out-rebounded 47-42 and 16 offensive rebounds to 11. So they're fighting. They're not, you know, they're not afraid of getting dirty and fighting for those boards. But look, Cantor's a damn good rebounder. So it's something that they really need to continue to focus on. But in the second, Clay was still getting off. He was still getting his shots. Both teams were missing a good amount. In the second, Kerr's continued to go to the bench. McKinney, Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, Jonas Jerebko all got minutes. Jonas Jerebko gave him really good minutes. He ended the game with 9 points in 15 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3, and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He was the guy who shot free throws second for the Warriors. Steph shot him early in the first, and then Jerebko got fouled in the fourth to get back to the line and finally shoot free throws. But he gave him good minutes. He was a plus 12, 5 rebounds, 1 offensive. He was solid. Jordan Bell, solid as well. 11 minutes, 1 of 2 from the field, 1 of 2 free throws, 4 rebounds, 1 offensive, 3 assists, but he did have 3 personal fouls in that short stint. He's up and down, but the bottom line is he's another body that you can throw out there, especially in this series. I doubt he'll go as deep if they make it to the next round, to the finals, but right now it works. You can play Jordan Bell in this series, so far at least. Quinn Cook struggled a little bit, but he did get it going later in the game at times when they needed it. Kevon Looney did what Kevon Looney does. He did only have 2 rebounds, but they were both offensive. He did a good job boxing out Cantor at times. He also had 1 assist and 3 steals and 1 block. So the bench played well. He went deep on the bench again, and they played well and stole minutes for the starters. And not just the starters, but Steph and Clay specifically, which until KD gets back, you're really going to need that. Because Steph and Clay are the motor for this team. This is you know, 2013 all over again. We're pretty thin, so they definitely need to get whatever they can when they can. Portland was game. They were fighting. They were scrapping. They continued to keep the game close by the fact they were getting to the free throw line and getting some good offensive rebounds. Steph managed to knock down 2 threes in the last minute to put the Dubs up 9 going into halftime. And he also had 19 points in the first half. He was damn good in the first half. He I don't know if carried them is the right term, but he was definitely the best player in the first half. He had 19. Klay had 11. Steph, with that last little late flurry he had, was really putting it together. He was 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3. Knocked down the only 3 free throws the Warriors got, like I mentioned. He had 2 assists as well. Klay, 5 of 14, 1 of 4 from 3. Klay was kind of volume tonight, but he did get it going later in the game to help. Jonas Jerebko, I mentioned his total numbers. 7 of those points, 7 of his 9 were in the first half. In the first 7:45 that he played in the first half, he was 3 of 3, 1 of 1 from 3. So he was a major factor for the team and for the second unit. That start of the second quarter unit that has hurt the Dubs before. So he was big. At the half, the Dubs were up by 6. But at the half, Golden State had taken 3 free throws. Portland had taken 14. Golden State had 16 rebounds, 7 of them offensive. Portland had 18 rebounds, 8 of them offensive. Cantor had 11 rebounds, 3 of those offensive. I mentioned earlier about how Cantor and some of the bigs were playing Steph on that high pick and roll. And I don't know what it was, whether it was Steve or Steph or whoever. They weren't attacking it like they should have, in my opinion, especially when Cantor is hurting you on the boards. If he's hurting you on the boards, go hurt him on the other end. And they just were not attacking it. It was a 6-point game. I thought they could have done it a lot more. But I'm no Steve Kerr. I'm no coach. So what do I know? On the first possession of the third quarter, Bogut gets a steal and then gets a moving screen on the other end. They finally put Cantor in the high pick and roll, like I was saying. Cantor plays him about 10 feet off, and Steph just knocks down the 3, no problem. Steph went off in the third. He ended the third with 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 3 assists, and 1 rebound. And a big part of that was the fact they were playing off him so much. So they went to it a little more in the third, but man, I'm saying go to it exclusively. Shoot. If that's how they're going to continue to play him, forget it. CJ had a nice moment where he had 5 straight, knocked down a 3, and then a driving layup, cut the lead down to 12. And the Warriors would send these random double teams, and not to Dame or CJ. They would double team Enes Kanter or Zach Collins, and they would pass out of it, and it wasn't working. It wasn't effective. They would pass out of it and get easy buckets. So I don't think it's something we're going to continue to see. But it was just really weird, really random. I don't know if it was decisions being made on the floor. They finally sent one at Dame, which at least makes a little sense to send a double team to their best player, a trap to their best player. But, you know, he was able to pass out of it, and they got an easy bucket. So it was pretty random to see, especially considering who they sent him at. And then even sending in at Dame when he's having a bad game was a little odd also. The Blazers were able to stay in the game because of certain, you know, the double teams, turnovers. Warriors ended this game with 14 turnovers. One of the only good things is that the Blazers had 21 of their own, but the Blazers were actually able to cut the lead down to 6 going into the fourth quarter, and part of that is because in the third, they really got on the boards. They had 15 rebounds, 6 of them offensive. Warriors had 7 rebounds, only 1 offensive. So in the third, they were able to cut the lead down because of the offensive rebounding, the free throws also. Steph did have his best quarter in the third with 13 points. He had 33 through 3 quarters. And so to start the fourth, only up 6, you're a little, you know, a little nervous. You know, your butt's a little clenched right now. But they came out in the fourth starting Quinn, Klay, Jonas Jerebko, Jordan Bell, and Sean Livingston. And I had talked about the free throws. The Warriors finally got their fourth and fifth free throws with 11 minutes and 40 seconds left in the fourth. They got their first 3 when Steph got fouled on a 3 with 10 minutes and 8 seconds left in the first. And then they got their next ones not until early in the fourth quarter. So Jonas Jerebko knocked those down, part of his good game. Quinn Cook, who did struggle for most of the game, in the fourth was able to get a couple of clean looks, knock down a 3, and then another 2 possessions later, knock down another one. It was pretty funny. After he knocked down those 2, Quinn really wanted the ball, but Jordan Bell wasn't having it. Jordan Bell was getting his shot. So it was kind of funny. A lot of fouls, like I said, being called. It was not really it ruined the flow at certain points of the game. But it didn't affect the Warriors too bad. Klay started getting it going in the fourth. Pushed the lead up to 11 with 8 minutes and 33 seconds left. Again, they kept sending random double teams, which I did not really understand. Steph came back in with 7 minutes and 2 seconds left in the game. He only got 3 more points. That's all they needed, though, because they end up getting a 22-point win. 7 straight from Portland cut the lead down to 9 at a certain point, like midway through the fourth. Klay got fouled shooting a 3, and then it was over. Draymond was everywhere tonight. Had blocks on 2 different Harkless threes. Harkless had some good moments, but Draymond definitely got the better of him this evening. 2 blocks on Harkless threes, 3 blocks overall, 2 steals, 5 assists, 10 rebounds, 12 points, 4 turnovers, and 5 fouls. I have to throw the negatives in there too. But Draymond was everywhere. He had a hell of a game. He blocked the Harkless 3, got it out to Klay on an outlet. Klay throws down a dunk. Klay is hyped. Klay likes dunking. He said that on SportsCenter after the game. It makes him happy. So that was pretty much what sealed the deal. Once the Dubs got up to 17, that's when the flag was waved and the game was over. Both teams emptied the benches. Warriors get the win. Steph stole the show with 36 points, going 12 of 23, 9 of 15 from 3. Klay did exactly what he needed to do. 26 points on 24 shots, so not awesome, not super efficient. 3 of 9 from 3, but he also played great defense. That's the thing with Klay. Even when the shot's not falling, the defense is there. You've heard me say it a billion times, but just because it's true. It's absolutely true. Going to take one last break, come back. One thing happened late in the game that surprised me, and then get a little reaction going too. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Dubs beat the Trailblazers. 116-94, 22-point win, game one of the Western Conference Finals. I wanted to throw this in there because it surprised me. I noticed Damian Jones sitting on the bench active in his warm-ups, in his gear. So he was active, which was surprising, but, you know, you'll see it sometimes. Someone will be active, but they're not going to play. He got in at garbage time, and I know he was cleared for 3-on-3 action a couple days ago. Didn't know he was 100% cleared. You know, he got fouled, went 1-of-2 on the free throw line, and then, you know, had a nice little layup later in the game, you know, less than a minute left. But it's interesting because, you know, they never really announced that he was cleared to return, which is fine. But it's a positive because it's another live body to throw out there and another live body that you can potentially throw out there against Cantor. If he continues to be a problem on the boards, not saying Damian Jones is the answer, but it's another option if needed. So the fact that he's active back to 100%, you know, happy for him personally with the injury he had. But for the most part, it's another live body that the Warriors desperately need, especially another, you know, 7-footer big body out there because they don't have many of them. The only one they have right now is Andrew Bogut, who's played well, but he's still older, not what he used to be. So to have a young live body like Damian Jones is a positive. Again, don't know if we'll see him get any meaningful minutes, but at least he's another option if Cantor continues to be a monster on the board. Draymond Green was asked after the game, quick transition there, was asked after the game about the bench and how they played and being ready to play. And he gave us a little insight to that. Here's what Draymond had to say.
Steve told us, you know, a couple days ago or yesterday, everybody be ready because this is a series that everyone could possibly play in. And, you know, those guys, you know, we've said it over and over again, they're professionals. They stay locked in. You know, every day I've walked into the gym, Jonas is in there shooting, you know, waiting for his opportunity. He's played big for us these last 2 games, and we'll need him to continue doing that moving forward. But, you know, it was great effort by everybody who came off the bench. JB was huge. Jonas, like I said, was huge. Quinn gave us great minutes. You know, Sean gave us great minutes. So everybody who stepped out there was ready to go. And, you know, the series is going to get tougher and tougher. Contrary to what probably every headline will say tomorrow, we know how tough it'll be. So we need those guys to stay locked in and continue to give us what they've been giving us these last two games. I also think that game six helped confidence-wise as well. You're talking, you know, guys who hadn't really played the entire playoffs. So to have that game six that they had against Houston, I think it boded well for us tonight.
So Steve Kerr made it a point to tell everyone that, you know, be ready. So you ain't got to get ready, knowing that they were going to get time and that this is a series that you can play them in, which is pretty big because I mentioned it before, you know, it kind of bugged me in the Houston series that he just refused to even try. But the bottom line is each series is different in the playoffs, and we're seeing that right now. And I think we'll continue to see a lot of the bench until, you know, unless Portland decides to tighten up their rotation. I think Steve Kerr will continue to play them until they prove that they can't be played. About to wrap this thing up, but one more point I want to make and reiterate is how important these wins are without Kevin Durant. And it's not that, you know, some of the stupid headlines you'll see that they're better without KD or whose team it is or whatever BS, you know, gets thrown out there. But it's important because it's allowing him time to recoup and recover and heal. And like I mentioned with Damian Jones coming back, just being a live body coming back, the thing is, Cousins and KD are not only two live bodies, but, you know, two of the best players in the game at their position. I mean, KD's the best player in the game, most likely. And Cousins is one hell of a player at his own position also. But the fact that they're able to get this win, hopefully get game two. If they can get game two, that'd be a huge cushion for both those guys to try and get back to as close to 100% as possible. But you can't go up 2-0 without winning that first one. So that's why tonight's win was big. We'll see what happens on Thursday. Thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.